Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. New week, new beginnings, but I would really like today to talk about R. Kelly. He's in the news again, and about the documentary, and kind of people aren't afraid, and they're going to speak up about him, and I think that's great. And I am going to talk about people that have spoken up about him. But we have to realize that this has been going on for about a quarter of a century now. About 24 years that we've publicly known. And really, it's been a little bit longer than that that it's actually been happening. I would say maybe like 27 years. So a little bit more than a quarter of a century that we basically have known that R. Kelly is a piece of crap. That he's a child molester, a child porn maker, a child porn producer, that he abuses women, controls them, has done far worse things than almost anybody who's a celebrity. Yet nothing seems to happen to him. And I've said before that I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that the vast majority of his victims are women of color, people of color, underage, of age. I mean, even when he dates somebody who's over the age of 18, the things that he makes them do and that he does to them are horrific. Yet people just continue to keep supporting him. And I'm not just talking about fans. I'm talking about people in the industry. And especially women. And you would think that women would be the ones who would be most likely to lead the charge against him. But that doesn't seem to be the case. I mean, this is a guy that should have gone down, you know, I would venture to say, well, for sure, a quarter of a century ago. But with the child porn trial and everything, even though he's acquitted, the only reason he was acquitted is you couldn't see how old the person was. You couldn't tell. But basically, he is the biggest celebrity sex predator around. It's a person who has admitted to having sex with, like, multiple 14, 15-year-olds. He's been accused of sex with 12-year-olds. Running a sex cult. Making sex tapes with underage teens, a.k.a. child porn. And he has literally had nothing really happen to him, to his income stream, to him or to his income stream. Like I said, the answer, so much of it has been public. Back in 1992, so we're talking, what is that, 26 years ago, when he was 24, he raped a 15-year-old. And that's basically about as close as the gap ever was. She sued him in 1996. And she got paid a bunch of money in a settlement, but then had to sign an NDA. So she can't say anything. You know, we just basically have the original lawsuit and all the things that he made her do. Sex with another, the forced sex with other women seems to be part of his MO. Also controlling every aspect of their life. Even back then, it's part of his MO. And that's why you should take the allegations of the people who are in the sex cult seriously. And instead, it feels like, you know, last year when they came forward, that everybody started attacking them and finding things wrong with them. Instead of looking at the entirety of what is the R. Kelly abusive behavior and saying, wow, every single one of these people over a course of 25 years said the same thing. but we're going to go ahead and go ahead and trash the victims. And it happens again and again. Now, in 1994, when he was 27, he married Aaliyah. She was 15. And that's bad enough. Okay? But basically, 3 years earlier, when he was 24 and she was 12, and remember, also when he was 24, he had the 15-year-old that sued him. But when he was 24, he discovered Aaliyah, wrote the entire album, which is appropriately named Age Ain't Nothing But a Number. He started raping her when she was 12 years old. And he was 24. He regularly beat her, forced her to have sex with other women. And when she was 15, they got married. She lied on her marriage certificate. Said she was 18. Now, that marriage was annulled, and he was forced to pay her a ton of money. But again, she signed an NDA, and yes, she's deceased now. But in the intervening years, she couldn't say anything. And the thing is the way he did that to Aaliyah. I mean, basically screwed her over for the rest of her life. And I wrote a blind, and I'm going to see if I can find it. This episode's going to be very blind heavy. And I wrote this one back in November of 2015, and then revealed it later. And it says, basically, back in the day, this singer was A-list, and that's Aaliyah. One named, not named Ashanti. She was young when they found her, very young, below legal age young. She wanted to be a star, so she listened to them. A back in the day, female and male A-list rapper. And those are Missy Elliott and Timbaland. She did whatever they wanted. She did the drugs they told her to do. And this is exactly what R. Kelly had basically groomed her to do, to be. That's what happens when your parents allow you as a 12-year-old to go off with a 24-year-old and allow your 15-year-old to marry a 27-year-old. She had sex with anyone they told her to, again, just like R. Kelly groomed her to. In return, they made her a star, just like R. Kelly did. They kept the majority of her money. She was their perfect breadwinner slash plaything. She never complained and she never argued. Again, because that's how she was trained to be. By R. Kelly. If someone was ever going to show you an example of brainwashing, she was the perfect person to put on display. Because for 3 years earlier, that's all he did. It's one thing when he is doing it with somebody of a legal age, but when you have a 24-year-old taking advantage of a 12-year-old, this is the kind of stuff that happens. Now, there came a time, though, when a few members of this group started having some financial issues. They took out some loans and toured more, but they couldn't get out of the hole. So they sold their prized possession. One day she was with one group, and the next day she was with Damon Dash. Now, she said she was in love with him, but a few dollars in a different direction, and she would have been saying she loved this A-plus list rapper mogul who thought he won the bidding for her, and that was Jay-Z. Now, the guy who won grew tired of having to hide all of the other women. Aaliyah didn't really care, but the public wouldn't understand, so a mogul had to hide and keep things secret. He hated that, and lucky for him, the situation resolved itself. And that was the airplane crash that claimed her life. Now, a lot of people say he resolved it himself, and not by killing her or anything like that. But, you know, he didn't really pick the best plane company for her to fly and everything like that. And it was a little bit sketchy how the plane went down. But, you know, nobody's accusing Damon Dash of murdering her. But I think he was probably relieved that she died. because things were getting really kind of complicated. You would think that instead of being glorified as he has been, he would be being vilified. And I'm speaking of R. Kelly, not Damon anymore. In fact, there was a thing a couple of years ago where, you know, remember Lady Gaga? She wrote a song, she performed a song about being raped, and then she's also made, you know, a huge deal about Dr. Luke and his rapes, right? But it seems that she's quite the hypocrite when it comes to R. Kelly. She did a collaboration like a couple years ago with him, the known rapist R. Kelly. And it's not like she goes, could say, oh, I didn't know. Okay. I challenge you to find some in the entertainment industry who doesn't know about R. Kelly. It's almost impossible. And then to drill that down and go to the music industry, that's even more unlikely, right? And to make matters worse, Lady Gaga on that one also hired the known rapist Terry Richardson to help out with the video. Now, at the beginning of the video for Do What You Want With My Body, which is quite the name for a song, there is a scene where R. Kelly tells Gaga he's going to rape her while she's sleeping. So how exactly, I mean, this is the most horrific. You would not expect somebody like Lady Gaga, who's supposedly, you know, talking about being a rape survivor or whatever, but she has tweeted before and, you know, basically joked or laughed about, you know, people who are roofied with GHB and then raped. It's not something that's, you know, just came out of thin air. The whole video, though, was basically an ad for rape. Now, you know what else happened on the set of the video that was an ad for rape? An actual rape. Several women on set had their hot chocolate or something drugged, and one of those women was then raped. That woman has never said who it was that raped her. The only description that she's ever given was that it's somebody very powerful in Hollywood who told her afterwards that he would ruin her life if she said anything. And I don't think that it was R. Kelly. I'm not sure if it was Terry Richardson. I doubt it. I don't think he has the power to do anything to anybody. And I don't really think R. Kelly does either. However, this woman, when she started to, like, you know, raise a fuss a little bit, raise a stink, she got threatened by some of Gaga's people. And then Gaga had her fans turn on her and, you know, do all kinds of threatening and things like that. And the woman tried to take it public, and she did to some extent. But I think it hurt that she wouldn't name who it was, and so people just kind of blew it off. But I think the underlying premise of what she was trying to say, because, I mean, she's the victim, she can decide whether or not she wants to name her accuser. But what she was trying to say was that Gaga promoted this culture on the set of the video and a song that allowed two known rapists to be there and be an integral part of it. You know, there was a lot of backlash when Olivia Munn talked about, you know, the predator that she had to work a scene with. And here's Gaga knowingly hiring R. Kelly and Terry Richardson, and the thing is done. So you could see how, I mean, even Jezebel called the thing an ad for rape. So it's not like this is just something being pulled out of, you know, somewhere to make a position. This is what Gaga did. And it's glorifying rape. It's glorifying R. Kelly and what he had done over the last, at that point, like over two decades. Saying it doesn't matter. I know people are accusing you of rape, but what I'd like you to do in this scene is go ahead and make a joke, quote unquote, about raping me while I'm sleeping and getting me pregnant. And it's not just Gaga who doesn't seem to care, female-wise. In the middle of the child porn trial, R. Kelly debuted a new girlfriend. And she had been on American Idol previously. And then just last year, Keke Palmer made it clear that she wanted him too. And I think I have a blind for that one. Let's see if I can find it. Oh, well, actually I have two. So I've got the Keke one, and then I have another one that I'll talk about in a second. So here's the Keke one. And it says, apparently this actress-singer missed being in the space the past few months because she's in it now for the second time in a week, and it's Keke. She was most recently seen in one of the few bombs of the A-plus list showrunner, Ryan Murphy, who dominates a certain family of networks, has made it clear to this underage sex-having STD-giving former A-list singer R. Kelly that she's willing to hook up with him and live with him if he can help get her singing career headed in the right direction. Now, does that sound like somebody who is vilifying R. Kelly? No. It sounds like somebody who is willing to put up with whatever she has to put up with to, you know, get her career going. She's willing to make that deal with the devil. And I wrote that back in April of this year and then revealed it in August. And then there's another one. And this one involves Tamar Braxton. And I wrote it back in March of last year and revealed it in the same month. But it says, not too long ago, this former talk show host slash singer opened for the singer who loves underage women. So Tamar not only was willing to associate with R. Kelly, she was willing to basically go on tour with him, support him, promote the fact that they were on tour together. I'm trying to imagine other people doing this, like going on a tour with Harvey and saying, oh, he's the greatest, I'm here, I love it, you know, and that being that person saying that being a woman. I guess I don't get it. And then there's no backlash against Tamar. There's no backlash against Keke. There's no backlash against the person from American Idol whose name I can't remember. So like, okay. Then, so that was Tamar's biggest solo exposure. But since then, she got removed from that gig. This was last year. And then Monica got the gig. She of the boy is mine, the boy is mine, the boy is mine. So there's another person, Monica, who's completely willing to work with, support, promote R. Kelly. And I don't get it. You know, there's people right now, I mean, Georgina Chapman is basically having to sell her soul and all of Harvey's cash to get people to wear Marchesa. Chesa. Because nobody was willing to do it. Nobody wants to, I mean, it's changing a little bit and a couple of people have been doing it, but for the most part, it's been pretty dry. And you know, they're basically bankrupting her, causing her to spend, you know, tons and tons of money to promote this line. Because nobody wants to be associated with it, right? Especially women, because it's for the red carpet. And then the first question they're going to get asked, or they're going to talk about, or who you're wearing, and they're going to have to explain and try and say, well, it wasn't Georgina's fault. Well, Georgina certainly knew what was going on, and she did nothing to stop it. So, you know, was she the one who was actually, you know, encouraging Harvey to jerk off in the potted palms in front of people? No. Did she tell him not to? Did she walk away when she found out? No. But yeah, we have somebody, you know, so women are trying to support her, even though, you know, it's questionable whether or not anybody should. But they certainly wouldn't go out and support Harvey. But yet here you have Tamar and Monica supporting R. Kelly. They're basically saying they are okay with what he did to those women. And we're not talking about like one or two women. We're not talking, which should be enough to disqualify you anyway. We're not talking about three or four. We're talking 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 over the course of a quarter century. But hey, I'd love to go out on tour with you. I'd love to give interviews and say, oh, I just love working with R. Kelly. I love seeing him perform. I love going out on tour with him every single night. And then Tamar wanted to be on the tour so bad that she tried to sabotage Monica. She was that desperate to be on tour with a child molester. Do you see how crazy all this sounds? It's ridiculous. It'd be like two women, two actresses, fighting to be on tour with Harvey. We would never believe that. It would be insanity. It would be insanity to think of an actress, other than maybe Lindsay Lohan, who would be willing to go on tour with Harvey and support him. But here you have multiple women over multiple years who are willing to do just that. Some, well, all of them basically, because they think that he can help their career. But he shouldn't have the power to help anybody's career at this point. In 2001, R. Kelly was sued by an underage female teen. And this woman says she was forced to have sex multiple times with R. Kelly. And it also forced her to have sex with other women. And he settled that case. And again, she had to sign an NDA. So we just have the original legal complaint. Well, she's not allowed to talk about it. You know, and it would be nice to have somebody be able to talk about it. Because I bet she knew if there was others. You know, and maybe this 80, 90, 100 that I rattled off before. Maybe it's 200 or 300. I think it's way more than we think it is. Or have documentation for. And there's a Chicago news reporter, newspaper reporter, who's been like writing about R. Kelly and doing his best for the last 20 plus years in Chicago. You know, a very big city, a great newspaper. And if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't find out about a lot of this stuff. But it doesn't seem to have done any good. I mean, this guy's devoted a substantial portion of his life to try and bring R. Kelly down, and he hasn't been able to. And I'm not sure what it's going to take at this point. What was interesting in the case in 2001... again, is that the woman said he tried to control every aspect of her life. Basically the same charges that were labeled before her and since. It's pretty consistent. And he wouldn't be spending all this money. And the thing is, he has, it's seemingly unending supply of money. Because nobody ever does anything. Nobody ever boycotts him. Or there's so few that it doesn't do anything. Now, that reporter I'm talking about, I can't remember his name, and I think it's DeRogatis or something, and so I apologize. I wouldn't have been able to pronounce it probably even if I... this is probably why I can't remember it off the top of my head. But he was sent a sex tape of R. Kelly with someone that clearly looked to be a minor. Okay? And he forwarded it to the Chicago police. But the thing is that nobody could figure out who she was. And unless you can figure out who she was, identify the person, you can't charge somebody with child porn because maybe they're just a very young looking 18, maybe the videos, you know, whatever. You really need to be able to identify the victim or just prove beyond a reasonable doubt that you can tell that the person's below 18. Now, everybody's best guess is that the girl was about 14, maybe a little bit younger. And then they found a second child porn tape that was also sent to the reporter. And this time they had an ID, okay? And they knew who it was, and she was 14, and he was like 33, 34 at the time. Okay, and it took forever for this case to go to trial. I think it took about 6 years. I want to say it came to light in about 2002, and the trial was, say, 2008-ish. Something of that nature. So it was dragged out and dragged out and dragged out. Now, the jury acquitted him. But the reason, like I said, was they couldn't tell for sure that she was under 18 or who it was and couldn't make that identification. So the fact that he was peeing on her in the tape and doing all kinds of other things to her, horrible, horrible, disgusting things, and should have probably gone to jail for life. But they just couldn't quite identify it, or they weren't willing to make that decision. And of course, you can't bring in this other one because you can't say that it was child porn from the first one, even though everybody, you know, knew it was, but you can't just go ahead and say it was because it hadn't been proved that it was. But this is a 33, 34-year-old guy doing these kind of things to 14-year-olds. And one of the things that most of the victims have also said on a fairly repeated basis, and this is not just the underage ones, but also ones who are legal age, is that he generally recorded them having sex almost every single time, often without permission. And I'm guessing that there are far more than two of these child porn kind of things. I doubt that we will ever see another tape. I'm sure that whatever existed, wherever those other two came from, that, you know, R. Kelly found out where, who, and shut that down. Now, maybe he's a collector, though. So maybe he did keep them. My guess is, though, that he really doesn't want to go to jail. He wants to keep having sex with whoever he can that's underage or not. So that maybe the power to get rid of it overrode the power to collect it. And if these tapes are so grainy, I mean, you know, maybe you can't see what's going on anyway. It's pretty crazy that 17 years after the fact of that child porn stuff, not a lot seems to have changed. And I think I have a blind about that. This one was from August 4th. 2018, so this year, let's see, even though they were told in advance, neither the feds nor anyone from the embassy in this country or the authorities from the host country are following this former A++ singer as he goes on a tween sexual assault spree. No one seems to care that he's out of the country specifically so he can target girls in the 10 to 12 year old range. Any possible authority who could be notified was when it was discovered what he would be doing. No one is stopping it, and this is getting out of hand. And I wrote that in August of this year and revealed it in August of this year. So there were people that said things authorities were notified and nobody just seems to care. I have no idea what this magical power he has of getting people to, you know, not do anything, not enforce the laws. And there's one that I wrote in June of this year and revealed in July. It was June 29th when I wrote it and revealed it July 5th. And it says this former A-plus list singer turned full-time child molester apparently gave a 14-year-old $300 all in $1 bills. Three stacks, all taped together, and she thought she was rich. You know, it was just like big stacks. You know, like you would see in a movie, except normally there'd be hundreds in a movie and they were $1 bills. Three stacks all taped together and she thought she was rich. She says she not only was raped by the singer for an entire weekend late last winter, but also was forced to be with five or six other men and three or four other women. And I put women in quotes because the oldest of the women was 19. But again, this shows the same pattern of behavior. And after the weekend, she was kicked out of the house where everyone was staying. She tried to text him, DM him, but never heard anything. 2 months later, she found out she was pregnant. So she was told to meet at a hotel, and at the hotel, she was forced to take a pregnancy test in front of a man she had never seen. She was then taken directly to a clinic to get an abortion and was not given any choice. After the abortion, she was taken back to that hotel, given another stack of $300. The man left, and no one has contacted her since. So it does not appear that much has changed in the last 17 years. Now, last May, I received a bunch of tips from the same person. All kind of in a flurry. And, you know, I don't like to write the same thing every day, but I will write about it once a week if it's important. And then what happened was those May blind items led to this one in June because a family member of the teen that was forced to get the abortion saw it. And the forced to get an abortion, that's also standard R. Kelly MO. And somebody sued him for it, and I'll talk about that in a minute, I think. But they sued and, you know, won. Well, not won, but he settled, gave them money, and of course they signed an NDA, and they're not allowed to talk about it, right? So, but back in May, let me see if I can find these. And I will start from, let's see, I guess I'll just, May 4th, and it was number one, I think. Let me double check. Number one. Apparently, this former A-plus list singer child molester has delivered a record to his label. The question is now whether the label will release it. My guess is they will delay it as long as possible. But the thing is, you see, the label makes money because people are buying it, right? People are buying what R. Kelly is selling, the arena tours and all that stuff. Nothing changes. It's like the worst things that he can do, it like attracts more. I really, it's like this immunity. Even Chris Brown saw his career like suffer for a long, long time for what he did, and it should, and what he continues to do. But R. Kelly, that song, I Believe I Can Fly, is it that holy that we need to just totally forgive him on everything? Is it because he, it was a theme song to a Michael Jordan movie? So then on May 10th, this was May 10, 2018, number 4. Let's see if I can find this one. This former A-plus list singer took his girlfriend out in public this week. But no one ever talks about the four underage teens that also live with him that no one does anything about because the four have no family that cares or even know their situation. And again, maybe this is why there's not this pressure from family members of people. You saw it a little bit with the sex cult stuff, but there was such this I don't know, victim shaming kind of thing, that everything was kind of drowned out. And it just shows that it's going to take something. I don't know what it's going to take. Like, you're going to have to see, like, child porn straight up in HD or something with the person giving their name before anything can happen. So then on May 12th, this year, number 5, this former A-plus list singer wasn't shy about having underage teens backstage at a show last night. It appears no one's going to stop him from doing what he wants to do. The police and security personnel backstage just turned a blind eye to the whole thing. Again, I mean, it's just this theme that keeps getting repeated. Eh. Like, it's, we don't want to deal with it. It's not, you know, we don't want the hassle. What? It is extremely frustrating to see this happen again and again, and to get these tips. And it's not like I'm hiding them. I'm revealing them. I want people to know. I want people to talk about it. You know, it's not something where, oh, you know, I'll reveal them with something. I'm doing it like a week later. And I'm making it pretty obvious when I'm writing it that it's him. But for some reason, nothing ever seems to happen. Now, let's see, May 18th, number 10. Basically, this flash in the pan A-minus list singer turned celebrity turned reality star turned talk show host is doing her best to support the singer child molester she hooked up with back in the day, because maybe she thinks it will help her out her music career, and that's Shantae Moore. Again, somebody else, another woman who's just like, it's just ignoring it. And then instead of just staying quiet, just if you quietly support him, which I don't understand why you would, but then to come out and say positive things. How can you say anything positive about this guy? And look, it's just happening again and again and again. It's so frustrating, because you think that the people that would be arguing the most instead are supporting him the most. And maybe that's part of the problem, because people go, well, look at all these women. You know, they support him, so why shouldn't I? Why should I, you know? And I don't understand. And then May 22nd was the last one, I think, that month. And it says this former A-plus singer has some of his people outside concerts passing out free t-shirts to women that support the singer child molester. If they're willing to wear them, they get invited to a party to meet the singer. So then all of a sudden you have 200 or 300 women. Again, why are they supporting him? I don't know. Because maybe they want to go to a party and see him. Are they that enamored of his celebrity? So then they wear the t-shirts. Let's say R. Kelly, basically R. Kelly's the greatest, and what, you shouldn't believe anything? I mean, he's an awful guy. He has no redeeming qualities. None that I can find. Yet somehow people just ignore it all. There is one that I wrote in March of last year, talking about just basically how awful it is, even to people that are legal, right? I revealed this in March. Like I said, I'm revealing them. As they happen, because I want people to talk. I want people. Maybe it's too many. This recently evicted former A-plus list singer, him should be on a sex offender registry, has been known to wave money in the face of women who are desperate to make ends meet, especially like single moms working multiple jobs. He tells them he will give them the money in his hand if they have sex with him. They do, and he just leaves without paying them anything. He is an awful human being. In 2002, a 16-year-old sued him for raping her and forcing her to have an abortion. Oh, there it is again. He paid her off. That same year, a stripper says that he recorded them having sex without her permission. And nothing has really changed on that front either. In October of last year, of 2017, let me see if I can find these. October 16th. Number 10, this former A-list singer was in the space last week, I think. Anyway, the initial one likes everyone to think his girlfriend is nice and legal. The one he brings out for pap photos is. The one that is barely legal to even drive, even if he would let her, he leaves at home. And if things are so good at his place, how come he leaves someone there to watch her when he's not around? see if I can find the other one that I wrote about him that month. I think it was October 13th, number 12. Yeah. Think this former A-list singer has changed? He hasn't. That was a 16-year-old girl he brought to a party the other night. 16 might be generous. The dress he made her wear showed off everything, and he told others she was the best he ever had. At this point, he thinks he can get away with anything because he has. It's maddening. Now, if you think his glorification must be at an end, you know, and that the whole sex cult thing will surely bring him down. Have you heard of Pitch Perfect 3? You know, the movie that is very female empowerment, very much female driven, female centric cast, female director, about music, right? It does feature R. Kelly music. It's just, you expect something more from like an Elizabeth Banks. You just expect it. You expect her to say no. There are literally, oh, how many songs could they have put in its place? 10,000? 9,999, which were probably unknown rapists, not known rapists. I mean, there's some bad people in music, right? Who've done a lot of misdeeds. But to just blatantly put an R. Kelly song in there, what are you saying? You know what they're saying? That nobody in the cast said anything. Now, granted, they might not, you know, maybe to them it's not worth losing their job about, but somebody like Elizabeth Banks shouldn't have been putting that in there anyway. She had a choice. She could put any song in there she wanted. Other than an R. Kelly song. By doing that, you're basically, at a minimum, enabling or complicit in a quarter of a century of bad behavior. Not even bad, awful, abhorrent. And when something like that happens, putting the song into a movie, not only are you saying it's okay, you're also putting money in his pocket to continue to pay off, to continue to control, to find others. You are supporting him financially in that lifestyle. I mean, there's just no other way. It's not hard. It's the same as, you know, if you are supporting Georgina. And again, Georgina is, you know, you have to make that determination whether or not, you know, she knew what Harvey was doing. And let's say she didn't. Okay? But no one would argue that the fact if you're wearing one of her dresses on the red carpet, you are supporting her financially. You are saying that you believe that she didn't know anything about it. You were saying that it's okay that she hasn't actually divorced Harvey. Why hasn't she divorced him? Would you stay married to him? Would you stay married to anybody who did the things that he did? Well, why would she do that? Because she supports him. And then when you support by wearing dresses, or in Rita Ora's case, getting paid $25,000... to wear the dress, you're making a decision yourself, and you're saying, it's okay. It's okay that you're married to him still. It's okay that you probably knew all this stuff. It's okay. And it's the same with Pitch Perfect 3, and, you know, putting R. Kelly and supporting him financially. You're supporting the lifestyle that has treated women like crap, awful, abhorrent. I mean, he had a tour that, you know, filled arenas. Arenas. And he's selling merchandise. And the vast majority of the people that go to an R. Kelly concert are female. If suddenly they said no, no more, then they could stop it. If they just decided en masse to stop going. But what happens is, if you have an arena that's got like 15, 16,000 seats, and 13,000 of them are women, or 14,000, all paying them $50 or whatever, what kind of message do you think that sends to him? It's a message that says, I can do whatever I want to whatever woman I want, no matter her age or no matter my history, and you'll still come support me. You'll still pay tons and tons of money. I will still generate millions and millions of dollars of revenue, not only from my concerts, but from record sales and things like that. And record sales is a quiet income, right? Because nobody actually knows that you're buying the record or the single or streaming it or whatever. But when you buy a concert ticket, you know, you're consciously doing that and giving money. And groups like Live Nation and stuff too, they should take the step. Why are you having the concerts of this person? You're also saying it's okay that he has done this to teens and underage teens and women and all this kind of stuff. If you're somebody like Live Nation, you say, oh, that's okay. We'll just keep taking our $5. We'll keep taking our promotion fee, Ticketmaster, whatever. Everybody's involved. And it's money. And the thing is, the promotion company, Live Nation, Ticketmaster, whatever, even StubHub on resale, whatever, they're all saying, well, these other, you know, 15,000 women each night think it's okay. We haven't heard from them. If we heard from them, we'd stop. Well, how about stopping on your own? How about stopping it because you know it's the right thing to do? There are people out there who are trying to stop, who are making an effort. One of those is Vince Staples. And he's a DJ. And he gave an interview at Coachella, I think it was last year, maybe. I don't think it was 2018. I think it was 2017. But I need to go back and look. So basically, the whole interview, he kept calling R. Kelly a child molester. God bless you, Vince. I mean, you're out there. When you're doing that, that's just the best. Just keep repeating it. It's why every time I was a blind, I call him a child molester. 69, 69, whatever. Tekashi. I call him a child molester. Remind people who he is. Remind people why you shouldn't like them. You know, Tom Cruise in Scientology is a whole lot different from somebody molesting people. Okay? There is a big difference. Now, as bad as I think that, you know, slave labor and forcing people to work on a million-year contract or an end-of-time contract, whatever, the things that he said to his niece once, which is really what kind of pushed me over the edge with him. You know, the separation policy of parents and things like that. But that is completely different than molesting kids for a quarter of a century and supporting them. So here's Vince, and he's giving this interview calling R. Kelly a child molester. And then says, like, R. Kelly likes peeing on them. It's way worse than that, though. Way worse. I mean, the things that he makes women do, I mean, have you ever read about what the Instagram models have to do in Dubai? That's about par with that. I'll let somebody in the comments tell you where to go for that. And you can read about it. And you can read what these women in real time agree to do for money. But the thing is, R. Kelly's not paying the women any money. You know, if you go to Dubai and you're of legal age, I don't care what you do. As long as you're not hurting somebody else, if you want to get peed on or whatever, there you go. That's your thing? Fine. You fully have the right to do that. And you're getting paid? Fine. But the ones R. Kelly's with aren't getting paid. And he's forcing them to do it. So Vince says this in the interview. And you know what the reporter interviewing Vince said. First she giggled, and then she said, "We can't talk about this guy. You're about to get me fired from Coachella, and it's my first time here." Maybe that's part of the problem, too. Reporters who are more concerned about getting to go to Coachella and having backstage passes than bringing down a child molester. Now, DJ Phantom, who's been with R. Kelly forever, basically, like he's a musical arranger or whatever. Now, he left and he called R. Kelly an S-bag and said he didn't know then what he does now. Really? I mean, I'm glad he left. But he basically had to be a blind idiot to not know. And that's the thing. There are no excuses. People can say things like about Harvey, "Oh, I didn't know." And chances are you did. And you chose to ignore it. But if you are, I could maybe believe you. Maybe. Now, if you say something I didn't know about Woody Allen or what he did, or now, if Harvey like suddenly came back to work and started producing movies and said, and then you tried to argue, "Well, I didn't know he did those things." That's basically what DJ Phantom is saying. Or anybody, if they say anything about R. Kelly. You know what he did? There was a trial. Yes, I know he was acquitted, but go look at why he was acquitted. It's because they couldn't actually identify the person. Even though there was a person testifying and said, "It's me." They couldn't be sure 100% beyond a reasonable doubt that it was her in the video. And they couldn't identify the other person who definitely was way younger in the other video. They didn't even know who she was. Look at all the 16-year-olds and 15-year-olds who sued and then he had to settle. So there is no excuse that you can tell me where you believe him instead of everybody else. And it's time for that to change. I'll see you guys tomorrow.